In 15 years of helping clients with funding applications, Ewan McClymont of Bishop Fleming agrees that access to public funds has seldom seemed more complicated. On the other hand, he told Christopher Slade, it would be wrong to say that public funds have dried up altogether.
Our grant database has got over 100 grants and different funds that are active for businesses right across the Southwest, and we've just produced a quarterly grant newsletter, and that had 6 new funds from Cornwall up to Worcester. So there's quite a mixed bag out there.
So it's not true that Cornwall only gets EU funding and that's it?
No, it's not true at all. I mean, Cornwall is fortunate in that it benefits from EU funding because its gross domestic product is under 75% of the European average. Out of Cornwall, though, there are other areas that benefit from EU funding. Plymouth, for instance, is a Tier 2 area, and outside of that, it's Tier 3. But that's Europe. I mean, you've also got the Regional Growth Fund, which is a central UK pot of money, and that covers the entire southwest, or in fact, all of England.
So how would people get access to that Regional Growth Fund, or how is that money distributed?
Two ways, really. They can do a direct bid. It's a minimum bid of £1 million, so you're looking at very large projects. Or they can go in through what I call an umbrella fund, which is where a body such as a university or an LEP has actually applied on their behalf, and they've turned that into a smaller, more regional or localised fund. Good example is the Plymouth University and the Western Morning News Growth Fund. Further up the region, there's the Heart of England LEP Growth Fund. And then back down in Cornwall, they've got the Business Catalyst Fund. All those are examples of regional growth-derived money.
So there are funds around and they're kind of tiered, so larger organisations will have drawn that money down to distribute more locally.
It's a much easier way for your average SME to apply successfully for funding, because as I say, the minimum bid is £1 million, so there's not going to be many businesses that are big enough or have projects big enough to warrant such an application.
And is there an easy way for people to find out about this kind of thing, other than ours online? Is there a simple answer?
Well, Google's a wonderful mechanism, but it will take you a long time. And we're in a situation with the demise of the RDAs and the business links that sort of one-stop gateway is no longer there. My advice to people is to look online at the local LEP, because they all have good websites, and that's probably the first port of call of what's happening in your local area, as well as the councils, because the two are normally linked quite closely.
So the LEPs haven't replaced the RDAs, in your view?
No, I don't think the LEPs were ever meant to replace the RDAs. They're a completely different animal. They are structured differently, where it's a private and public partnership. The clue is in the title and on local issues. And they have nowhere near the budgets that the RDAs ever had. So they are there to help formulate strategy and to drive the agenda, but they're not there to dole out lots of money. They can apply for funding, but the delivery of that is normally done through another party, usually the local council.
Now, the banks are taking a role in helping to distribute money, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I mean, what we're seeing in the demise of the RDAs is a new way of doing things. And if you'd asked me a couple of years ago, that will banks be distributing grants? I would have said, well, not in my lifetime. But we do now see examples where quite a number of the big high street banks have applied for regional growth funding, and they are now distributing that grant funding in their asset-assisted purchase scheme, which is primarily there to help businesses who need to purchase capital equipment. They can't raise or afford the deposit. The grant can plug that deposit, and then they take out a lease or a loan through the bank. So it's quite a radical departure.
It's a sort of win-win, isn't it?
It is a win-win, because you're dealing with your bank manager who knows your business, or hopefully knows your business, better than a public sector grant administrator. And they are actively working with you, hopefully, to get that piece of capital equipment that will create some jobs and help to grow your business, and that's good for the economy.
So don't be afraid to talk to your bank, who tell us they are lending, and the people who don't talk to the bank say they're not lending. So it's a chance to talk to the bank.
Absolutely. You should never be frightened to talk to your bank. I think that's got to be your first port of call when you're looking to expand or to spend money. That's got to be the first conversation you have, because if you go asking for grant funding, they'll ask, what does your bank say? Normally, if you want a grant, you have to prove that there's actually a need for the grant. In other words, that you can't make the project happen without the grant. And that's normally a case where you can't raise all of the funding through traditional means.
Just give me some examples then of the kind of funds that are out there.
If you start at the top, you've got a lot of national funds like the Manufacturing Advice Service, UKTI, which is set up to give really, really good and practical export advice, and they've small grants. You've got R&D grants, there's the Smart Awards, which cover all of England, and you've got some more localised R&D funds that are now springing up as well. Bringing it further down at a localised level, the LEPs are applying for their own types of funding, usually through, as I said earlier, through the Regional Growth Fund. And then if you're in specific areas such as Cornwall, you've got European-derived funding, or in other assisted areas like Plymouth, which is a Tier 2 area, it is its own European criteria as well.
So in terms of sort of tips for people who want to try and apply, what are the main things you see that SMEs fail to do? What do they get wrong when they're applying for grants?
The devil's sometimes in the detail. I think it's, as well, it's easy to chase the pot of gold and lose sight of why you're actually trying to get that funding. So my advice is always look after number one. First and foremost, work out what you need to do for the business, what's right for the business. Secondly, then ask the question, is there a grant for this? And if there is, I would always advise having a very, very early meeting with that funding provider. Find out, does my project fit what they're looking for? Can I provide enough jobs that would give my application a decent chance of success? And then finally, if it's a more complex application, get some professional advice to help put it together. Get your management accounts in order and start that process.
So if you get all that right, you're quite positive that there is money out there and there are funds around?
Very much so. I mean, it's all a matter of timing because these things come and go, and that's frustrating, and I do appreciate that. But that's just how it is. There's always more demand than there is actual funding available. So you're always going to be constrained by timing and pressure. So there is an element of luck that comes into grant applications, you know, at the right project at the right time. But if you have your house in order, if you've got good management information, if you know your market, and most of all, if you know your project and what you're trying to do and what the benefits are, if you can articulate all those things in a business plan, we're not talking about War and Peace, no more than 10, 20 pages maximum, with some sound financials, you'll stand a really good chance of getting that funding.